Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline as the days grow darker and chillier. It's a magnificent one here in Atlanta. But as darkness and winter come upon us, it's kind of reminiscent of Robert Frost's poem about bleak November, which is the starvation of the soul as much as it is of the actual weather conditions. And we live in a time where the news is filled with governmental deception, with a president that boldly lies with impunity about almost everything, as he leads 300 million Americans, and we are at a place in our history where it's where the times are confusing, where character doesn't seem to count. And in all of this, there are millions who look to the Lord and wonder what in the world is going on and how can they survive in a situation that really is beginning to resemble the early church with Roman emperors that made senators out of horses and married their sisters. And here we are, people who see right legislated as wrong and wrong legislated as right, and we're supposed to accept it as right and true. And the bewilderment among the American people, the believing American populace, is overwhelming. And those are the things that I was thinking about. And we've got Dr. Robert McGee with us today, as well as Stacey Hanner. Robert, how are you?
I'm good. Did you say that they were marrying their horses' sisters, sir? I was trying to follow that, and then I got to horse, and then I got to sisters, and I'm going, I didn't know that.
Yes, Caligula actually loved his horse so much that he made it a senator, and so it was in the Roman Senate, and all of the senators had to accept the horse as a colleague. Now, I am sure that there are senators who believe that they have the rear part of a senator in many of those that are up there, but I don't see any that actually are equine. Some of them are the rear part of a horse, that's for sure, at different times, but they love it.
But there are some people that it wouldn't bother them if certain elected officials told them to go marry a horse. They would say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. About as much sense as we're going to add these millions and millions of people to health care, and isn't that going to cost any more money, and everybody's going to get it, and it's going to be cheaper, and now they say, well, you know, people knew that wasn't going to be the truth, and so there's really no harm and no foul. It's just craziness. And yet, in the next election, there'll be people lined up to vote for these liars again. Right? So I thought maybe...
Well, you know, interestingly, there was not one Republican in either the House of Representatives or the Senate who voted for Obamacare. It's the only major piece of legislation in American history where there was not one single vote from the opposition party. And, if you know, I'm a conservative and not a Republican. If I were a Republican, I would be letting everybody in America know that, because I don't believe that many people do. Did both of you know that?
No.
Yep. You didn't know
okay,
that?
Okay, one did, one didn't.
No.
At any rate, I...
Well, I mean, yes,
I
knew it,
exactly.
But nobody... I, of course I knew it. Of course that I knew it, but the Republican Party didn't vote for it.
Yeah. But here
at
we are.
At any rate, yeah, we're...
And
we're,
I even emailed Bill O'Reilly about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is part of what we do, folks, is that when things go south, and particularly with the government, and people feel disconnected with things that they believe in, they have a tendency, a strong tendency, to medicate their pain with alcohol, drugs, pornography, extramarital affairs, overeating, sometimes overexercising, and anything that they can do to just feel better to get through the day without taking stock of who they really are and going to the source of the one who is able to change the situation. And what we do is point people to the Lord, because he is the only person who can change them. And, you know, that's been the case. Robert, what did you have in mind that you wanted to talk about here?
I wanted to talk about Halloween. And
well, isn't that really good? And, you know, since
finally,
I have decided that, you know, since everything that I put up on Facebook is black and white, that I'm going to take little color swatches and be 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Well,
I've been waiting to say that to somebody, and here I got to say it on air. Halloween. Halloween, my least favorite holiday. I don't ever do anything for it because some things just don't jive, and that's one of them.
Well, for those that are listening, they should understand a couple things about Halloween. Number one, the date they chose is the same date that Martin Luther went to the church door and tacked the theses of salvation by faith on the church door. You know that?
I did not know that. So it was October 31st.
I think it was 1512. There's a great movie about Martin Luther that they made several years ago. But that, in fact, is when it happened. And so what happened then is that...
And he did that purposely. That wasn't random.
Oh, I have no idea. It could have been, you know, his horse, but that's how God had it come about, that on that date. And then Satan moves in and has people celebrate him, meaning Satan, on the same date that Martin Luther was putting up information about being saved by grace, which is the critical doctrine in Scripture, is grace. All right? So I will bet you not 1% of the Christians have any idea that's when Halloween was chosen. It wasn't chosen back then, but it was chosen later to be on the same day where there was a great emphasis and a great revival based upon that our salvation is by grace and not by works.
Now when I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church,
I'm sorry.
We were always taught that Halloween was before November 1st, which was All Saints Day.
Oh, yeah, that's also true. But the most critical thing was the fact that they jumbled up a day we should be celebrating, which is when being saved by grace, by faith, not by works, was highly focused on because of Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther had a few quirks in his theology, but this wasn't one of them, all right? He was hacked off at the Jews for what they did to Jesus, but not everybody has everything correct like you and me, Jack.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, the that's probably the most amazing thing, all right, is that Halloween is that. Now, Halloween is our friend, our common friend, Pat Matriciano, has a bunch of videos on Halloween on Jeremiah Films. And it's hard to have an analogy about Halloween. I mean, I guess we could if it was tied to the Holocaust, people might recognize this isn't very good. But this is just, I don't think people take Satan seriously. But
no.
We're living through a day where they should, because they see his handiwork every place they go. And the poor people are just getting eaten up by the results of paying attention to these kind of things. And it's tragic, more than tragic. So, anyhow, that's one of the things I wanted to observe today was that I know that there are people who, I mean, the silliest thing the churches do are say, well, we don't celebrate Halloween. We celebrate Fall Festival. Go tell that little 6-year-old kid there that you're not celebrating Halloween. The one that's sort of painted up. And I don't care how many signs you say, this is not Halloween, this is Fall Festival, and we're having a lot of fun, and families are together, and this is just sweetness and light. These kids don't recognize the difference between Halloween and Fall Festival. Why would you celebrate it on the same day that people are celebrating Satan? What are we talking
exactly.
about here?
Exactly.
All right?
I think that people, I think if you polled 100 people and said, how many of you think or realize that you're celebrating Satan as you know, in Halloween, that not one of them would say that they knew that that's what they were doing, and they would say that it's innocent. And that it is just good fun and a reason to get dressed up, and the deception of what they're doing is so deeply ingrained in them that to even suggest that there's something sinister to it makes you look like a kook. And that, I think, is why most believers aren't willing to address this.
Well, there's
you agree with that? I know it's not true, but, you know, I don't think many people talk about it rationally like we're doing right now and really just come up and just say, okay, most people don't. I mean, the interesting thing about deception is that you don't know that you're believing a lie or you wouldn't be deceived. And so here this deception is so ingrained. Halloween is close to as ingrained in our society as Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas. Not as much as Christmas, probably, but Thanksgiving and more than the Fourth of July, more than Labor Day, more than Valentine's Day. I mean, this is like one of our sacred rituals in Americana. and, you know, to know that you're really playing with something from the other side just doesn't compute to people. Well, how would you just say if you're just sitting down with somebody and, you know, and just kind of like bring it up and even mention this, what are the things that you would say to them, Robert?
Well, first of all, this activity is not unique in the world. There's a book that has Labyrinth in its name, and I was trying to pick it up here off of Amazon, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it quick enough. And basically what happened was that this guy went out and he looked around the world and he looked for the darkest places in the earth, right? Not dark because of lack of sun, but where satanic influence was so great that it affected everybody there in a great way, right? And I don't know, it might be called the Labyrinth. Anyhow, if anybody wants to know, they can call Stacy, who will look it up by then. Anyhow, for instance, he tells a story. He says, well, I went to this one tribe someplace in the world, and they had been putting out food for the evil spirit for years and years and years, right? And they had certain people assigned to put out food every night for the evil spirit. And he goes, well, why did you do that? And I said, well, many years ago, we were in a severe drought. It hadn't rained for a very long time. And someone came up with the idea that we had offended some spirit. So we went about and we created this ritual, and we put out this food, and we told that spirit, if he could hear us, that we were trying to honor him, et cetera, et cetera. And the next day it rained. Right? And they were very excited about it raining. And they did that over and over again until the people, this happened years before that they started this routine. So that at the end of the day, he said, I don't know if anybody here even knows what this is about, right? But it happens that way all over the world, right, where there is something severe happening in the culture. It would happen in America we may have already done it once, actually twice, because there's been two elections. But all over the world, there are people who are going through rituals, honoring something that they don't even know. But they, in their mind, they know it's evil. But they are scared to death to stop this ritual. And so that's all this really is. I mean, it was like those stupid Harry Potter books, right? Jack, I don't know if you know it, but I created a video on Harry Potter. And H.K. Rowling presents in Harry Potter one of the cleanest versions of witchcraft that we have in literature. I mean, what they came up with and how they did it. Now, she changed some of the incantations a little bit, but everything else was perfectly right in line with how you would do your seances, your incantations, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know when this was. This was, I don't think even Stacy, you were around at that time.
No, but I was going to First Baptist, and it was advertised
on
our billboard.
Well, Well, we actually showed our video there. In fact, I showed it to Hagee, and he distributed a ton of our videos, which basically showed how real witchcraft was being presented in Harry Potter. Now, would you like to guess why parents, even knowing that, would still encourage their kids to read Potter? It's because their kids weren't reading anything, and they were so happy to see their kids read anything that even though it was about witchcraft, they were okay with it. Right? That's really pretty dumb. And when I would talk to parents whose kids were doing it, they'd say, well, you don't understand. My kids just haven't read anything all these years, and he's read Harry Potter 8 times from cover to cover. And I go to them, I say, have you looked at the size of that book? That's not like a comic book. That's pretty thick. Now, you're telling me your kid's never read anything for all these years, and now he's reading this book, which is hundreds of pages long, from cover to cover. Is there anything about that that should bother you? Oh, no. It's so great to see them read. I go, yeah, it looks like it's obsessive-compulsive to me.
And Robert, how many of those kids actually performed those spells and they worked for them? I've spoken to several myself. Those spells worked.
I don't know how many would do it, but I will tell you one thing. Potter represents a power source that doesn't have anything to do with God. All right? And it presents this power source in a positive way. And so some kid gets this in his brain, quite frankly, why wouldn't he have less of a belief in who God is? Because there's Harry rocking and rolling, and it doesn't have a lick to do with God. In fact, there's a compulsion within the kid to gain this power. And this compulsion to gain power is not reserved to kids reading Harry Potter. The whole, even Christians today, if you told them, look, if you really, really want to have power, go over there in the corner, stand on your head and wiggle your toes. And if something happened while they were wiggling their toes, they would swear that was God blessing their wiggling of their toes. Irregardless of the fact, there isn't a lick of things in Scripture that would justify that. And at the same time, you have other Christians who are saying, well, all you have to do is read the Bible over and over and over again, and you will have power, and you will have all this stuff. And people do, and they don't get anything out of it. And instead of stopping and saying, huh, I wonder what's going on here, they can still give them the same miserable jabber. And no wonder there's so many Christians who are going, I think I'm going to take another hour or two of sleep this Sunday morning. And that's where I came up with the thought that there are probably more Christians avoiding church on a Sunday, I mean real Christians, than going to church. And then I thought, for some of those people, it's really not too bad. It's like this kid has this, not a kid, he's a preacher, but he used to be on staff of a big church here down here in Houston. And he thought it was clever to make these little billboards around here. I know, Jack, you're holding your breath for this one. And on his billboard, he has, not your mother's church. And I'm going, I mean, when I saw that, I go, it just sort of took my breath away. The most this kid can say is, not your mother's church. That's awful. That is awful, 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 right? I mean, if you can't say anything else about your church is it wasn't your mother's church, then you should stay home and sleep more, all right? as I was telling a friend of mine who this week that emailed me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I sent him back an email, and I told him, I said, sleep is good. And my son chewed me out for emailing him back at 2 o'clock in the morning. But in any event, I don't know where this rant came from, except the fact that Halloween, I would just beg people, don't encourage. If someone at your church says, well, we're not going to do Halloween, we're going to do Fall Festival, ask them this. Is that little four-year-old that goes to Fall Festival going to know the difference that you're not celebrating Halloween? When everybody else is celebrating Halloween around him, and you just change the name. I mean, he goes, well, Mama used to go to Kroger's. Now she's going to Randall's. This is about the same thing, I guess. I mean, are we completely idiots? All right?
I wonder how many people actually, what percent of people literally believe that Satan exists and that there are demonic entities. How many people actually, what percent believe that that's true? My suspicion is that all of these people that most of these people that are doing this are completely clueless that Satan actually exists. Now, of course, he doesn't really want them to know, not in this kind of society. You know, in some societies, he likes it, you know, because they're more superstitious than we are. They're the wiggle-your-toe types. But, you know, we like to think that we're rationalists in America and that there are no supernatural entities because, you know, if there's no God, then there's no angels. And if there's no God and no angels, then there's certainly no Satan and no demons. And so by just taking the whole thing and dismissing it and just, you know, well, I'm going to dress up as the Joker. And, you know, something else and, you know, go and, you know, enjoy the evening and, you know, and do this, that, and the other. And, you know, and I mean, I took all of my kids trick or treating, to be honest with you.
That's sad. That's really sad, Jack.
But did you
I had no clue. It never crossed my mind.
Jack, aren't you glad there's grace?
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
The one thing about these people who don't believe in Satan, pretty soon they're going to believe. Now, they may say it's in the form of somebody else, but we're about ready to get stuck to us, you know? And
that's exactly right. We're about to get it stuck to it. Stacy, tell people where they can get some stuff, to help them, because we're just about out of time. And be sure, you know, and give them our 800 number.
Certainly. Our 800 number is 800-460-4673. And our website is mcgeeandme.net. And I'd love to talk to anybody.
We got stuff on there to help people with understand who they really are in Christ. And if Robert said anything, you know, that you need to remember, it's that we are about to get hit hard. And it's not going to be pretty, and you need to be prepared. And, you know, that's all the time that we have for today, folks. But we'll pick this stuff up next week. And in the interim, just remember, you know, that God loves you regardless. And thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Goodbye.
Bye, Jack. Bye, Robert.